The big game fallout, ladies and gentlemen. They're burning down Philadelphia over to the Flash trailer. What's going on, Joey Franchise? How you doing, sir? Welcome to the show, my man.
No doubt, man. Good to be here. I think Philadelphia would have been burned down if they won or
if they won, if they lost anything, right? We'll put the blame on Ezra Miller too. That for that one. How about that?
That too, yeah. Burned it because of Ezra Miller.
Just add it to his rap beat, Mr. Tarek Lewis. How you doing, sir?
Feeling good, man. I'm feeling like Michael Keaton's Flash.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, it's me. That made me laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about.
I don't think he said it. You're misquoting him. Yeah. He didn't say it's me. He said, I am Batman.
He said, that's right. I think he said, that's right. That's right. I am Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had it wrong. Mr. Tarek Lewis, how you doing, sir?
Not bad.
Yeah. How about you, Joey? You enjoyed the whole Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, I did. It was crazy because I had a DJ day party leading up to the Super Bowl. But I made it in time back home to halftime. Jumped on the iPad, went on YouTube, watched the trailers over. So it all worked out.
Excellent. Welcome everybody to the live show. This is Geek Culture Congress. And we talk everything nerd and geek here. And of course, we got to talk about all those new trailers that dropped, man. I feel like I missed some of them. I saw Transformers. I saw The Flash, right? I saw Fast X. Okay. But I didn't see Guardians. I don't know why. And then in the middle of the game, boom, on my Facebook, watch Guardians of the Galaxy trailer from the big game. And I was like, wait a second, they didn't even play it. I don't know. When did they air that one?
I think to save time and money.
Yeah.
I think what they do is they give you like 30 seconds of a 2 to 3 minute trailer.
Right.
And they just kind of push you to go watch it online just so they can get as much commercial revenue for something like that. So
they put like a teaser one in. If you want to watch the full trailer, go to YouTube or whatever.
The Guardians one was definitely like watching online. I think they did the full Flash one.
Yeah.
But the Guardians one was definitely watching online. And I think even the Transformers one was watching online.
Okay. Because the Transformer was short. And I was like, okay, that's it. But then I guess I missed the... Yeah, there was so much stuff going on while I was watching Super Bowl.
Was it... I didn't see that one. Was it like a newer version of... Or the pretty much the same one recycled that we got like a few months ago?
It was a little different. It was Mirage focused, like it focused on the kid and the character and the Transformer, the Autobot Mirage.
Let's see if I can.
So I'm sure they got some co-op from whatever brand vehicle Mirage is going to be in the Transformers film. I'm sure they put some money in on it.
Make sure I we'll pull up the Transformers one first. How about that? We lost Joey for a second. We'll pull the Transformers one first is what we'll do. And then we'll go through it. But let's talk about what everyone's talking about. And I'm so glad I haven't started watching it yet. Because apparently it was a real tearjerker. I guess the latest episode of The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you guys are on it. So go ahead and feel free to discuss. And don't worry about spoiling anything for me.
I don't want to call it a tearjerker. Because I don't want your soft ass to not watch it.
You just want me to you know, you're going to have to pay for my psychiatrist bill.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Shout out to Barry. BJ, he said, you definitely missed that trailer. The Guardians one was just a quick one to make you laugh.
Yeah. Okay.
Like 15 seconds? Dang, it must have been that quick then. I must have been in the restroom or something.
Yeah, you probably get chicken getting up, buffalo or ranch, whatever you decide to do.
we're doing dipping chips.
Last of Us, man, is gearing up to be one of these. HBO's becoming hard to top, man.
Yeah,
Last of Us is gearing up. I don't know the video game, and I'm still like very, very intrigued by The Last of Us. And the type of monsters, they introduce It's amazing. And it's like almost like I feel like there's a limited array of creatures they can introduce, but it's clearly not about the creatures. It's everything we loved about The Walking Dead, like reborn with a different spin. And that's what I think was great about it. And I'm not going to spoil, but this, you know, hey, when you think you're being introduced to a new character on this show, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get this new character, and maybe we'll ride out with them. No.
Yeah.
No.
Work out good.
No. It's not going to. It ain't going to go like you think. Well. Yeah, it's not going to go like you think. Yeah. But it's very much digs into the humanity of what it would be like in an apocalyptic era with, you know, these creatures roaming around and what it means. So. Another great episode. It hasn't been a bad episode yet.
And I thought I saw somewhere that they said fungus is actually 3 years away from being what it's panning out to be in the Last of Us series.
Like for real? Like
yeah.
I don't know.
Like if it's real life?
I don't know if it's turning into zombies, but maybe I'm thinking like the toxicity of it.
I don't know. Yeah, we're probably shooting down aliens, and the world's probably going to end soon. So.
Yeah, definitely the plot of Independence Day is happening right now.
Yeah.
We just don't know about it.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, the Avengers are
protecting us because they've shot down three over the weekend.
Mr. President, we might start an instant of war. Shoot it down anyway. In the way of airplanes.
Elon Musk is Iron Man, so we good.
Oh my God. It'd be the most out of shape Iron Man I ever seen.
Hollywood.
Yeah, at least Tony Stark had swag. Elon Musk is like, I don't know.
Oh man.
But I will say to tap into what Tarek said, having played the game, I mean, it's very accurate and very true to what the game was or is, with a few minor little things, but man, the writing for this show is impeccable, man. Like it's amazing. I truly like can't get enough of this show, and I think it's every zombie movie going forward needs to take notes from Last of Us, because what they're doing with this show is like no other zombie movie we've piece of zombie content that we've ever seen before. And like to keep it all the way G with you,
yeah,
it doesn't any of these like typical zombie movie tropes, and that's I think what makes it so unique, because it's not your typical one. Like you feel for these characters, the way the environment is created, you know, around the show, like it feels realistic, like this shit could happen possibly in 3 years. Like they say right now about the fungus. I mean,
what somebody was explaining to me was that that even the way the different infected or exposed zombies, for lack of a better term, I don't know what they call them in the show, but that they all move different and they have different speeds and they walk all very uniquely. Like it's not just a normal creeping zombies, you know, brainless people. You know what I mean? Like they have like there's different sizes and what different ones do different things, and
somebody was explaining to me. We saw the giant Hulk looking motherfucking clicker in this episode, and that I was blown away. Like the way it looked, the way they moved, it was just next level shit. And these clickers, man, they're very sensitive to sound. It's really interesting to see how, you know, they pick up on, you know, humans in the area, non-infected that are in the area, and they can hear sound from miles away. Like it's nuts. Like it's trippy as shit. Like it's next level zombie shit, and it's being well executed. The writing team and HBO, like Tarek said, HBO can't miss. And literally, like I think if you had to choose, you know, not to shit on Showtime or any of those other, you know, streaming services, but man, like, I'd rather wait.
The only service we don't talk bad about is Disney Plus, okay, here. I mean, not Disney Plus, Apple Plus here, okay? Everyone else
Apple
is free
Plus
game.
Is good money. Apple Plus is good money. The Morning Show is one of my favorite shows, and but other than that, like all the premium cable streaming services, yo, I'm telling you, man, HBO got this shit on lock.
Yeah.
They got the best content. They're putting the best content out, period.
You guys almost convinced me. I will get started on it eventually.
You have to watch the show, Speedy. I'm telling you, for the sake of this show, for the sake of our show, you have to watch the show.
Yeah.
The Bloater, that was the name of the zombie they introduced. The infected was the Bloater. Okay. Amazing. Oh,
the Bloater, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded like somebody who just like explodes or something.
Yeah, oh, you know, he's everyone else. Bro, the way he's killing, I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah, don't worry.
He's going nuts.
Yeah.
That's cool. What else?
Before we move on, the dope thing about the show is that you kind of go backwards and you go back and forth in time sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But from the first episode to where like most of the action is taking place, I believe it's either been 13 or 17 years. I want to say it's 17 years. From like the first infection to where the story is taking place. So there's all these developments and it's like they can just introduce stuff that people already know. It's not like you're learning along with them. It's like there's been a 17-year period and there's no question about what happened and like what the environment is. And it's just about the characters and the dialogue and the humans and like reach certain goals. So that's what's dope about the show.
Yeah. Okay. And I think what's crazy, and I mean, still to my opinion, you know, episode 3 was really the groundbreaking and really like stamped like best episode so far in the series. But this
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fifth episode, to me, is right there, right behind it. And the characters they introduce is so, the way they introduce them is so dope because you'll meet them towards the end of the previous episode and then you'll get a good story as to why they're there, what their purpose is, what their journey is, and how it coincides with Joel and old girl. So like, I mean, just the way these characters get written into the story and how you get introduce the characters is very, very dope.
Okay, all right. You almost got me. I'm gonna get started eventually. I will. I got it.
Man up, Speedy.
I've been watching every week.
Embrace
the Bad
fungus,
Batch.
Speedy.
Yeah, I've been watching every week the Bad Batch, Star Wars, the Bad Batch. Yeah, and this last they dropped two episodes last week. That was very interesting because it was actually like a window into how they finally started to transition from the clone troopers to the stormtroopers. And not to ruin it for anybody who hasn't caught up in whatever, pretty much you just see the way that the Emperor Palpatine is just like, he's such a great behind the scenes political person. Like he could have been like, no, we're doing this, you know, but he completely used like the whole, it was just interesting seeing all the political intrigue in these two episodes, these recent two episodes. And it was animated. It's an animated show. So it was actually pretty dope. And I like, probably my favorite episodes of the Bad Batch so far, this season, man. So if you mess with it, check it out. The Bad Batch on Disney Plus right now. The new season coming. I think they come out with a new episode every Wednesday, I believe. Yeah. Very interesting stuff. We even got a Jedi. We even had a Jedi the episode before that. The Wookiee Jedi.
I'll go watch it when you watch the first episode of Last of Us.
All right. Eventually I will. I will. I promise. All right. So... We said we were going to do this. Why did this change here? Oh, boy. Who's changing my videos here? Okay. YouTube took over my browser here for a second. I don't know how. All right. So, you didn't check out this the Transformers one. So, let's run it from the beginning here. Put some audio here. My computer. Yeah. I like it.
I'm glad it's not.
Yeah.
Hopefully not Bumblebee focused.
Nah, he's in there. We just saw a little scene of him.
Yeah, but, I know he's in there, but everything's been focused on Bumblebee. Like, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's all I got. Oh no, this is the full trailer. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think this is the trailer we've already seen in the preview.
Is it?
I believe. Oh. Don't quote me.
Well, let's let it ride anyway.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen them like that with these. Or maybe that we've seen. Optimal Primus, that's his name, right? I think we have seen that one. Yeah, this one.
I think it's Optimus Primal.
Yeah, Optimus Primal. There you go.
Optimus Primal. Yeah. There is a darkness coming. Optimus
Prime looked really, really good. Like his sci-fi, his CGI looked really, really good. Even
I found it strange that they decided not to do it different time periods, because I believe Beast Wars is set like 2,000 years in the future.
This right. one,
Beast Wars, yeah.
Oh, Beast Wars. Wait, this movie or Beast Wars like the show?
Beast Wars the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the trailer we've seen already. I kind of scrubbed through it, yeah. So we don't have to relive that again. But definitely dope. We got a little glimpse into Mirage there. And that's played by Pete Davidson, I think, is voicing him.
Is he really? Oh wow.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He keeps winning.
What up, Pete Davidson's the voice?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's go to the Google and just make sure. Transformers. Rise of the Beasts. Let's
see. Yeah, I believe he is. Yeah, he is. He's the voice.
Yep.
No, Mirage is going to be... He's going to be... Francisco Quinn is voicing Mirage. But that was in Transformers Dark of the Moon. And this one, yeah, it's going to be Pete Davidson.
Nice. Well, I guess that's completely kind of like soft rebooting all the Transformers stuff. I guess trying to make everyone forget the Michael Bay days. Huh?
I don't know. I feel like it's all a continuation.
I guess. Like a soft continuation. Yeah, sure. You know? Like kind of, sort of. Like, yeah, maybe. You know?
You're so skeptical.
I just hope it's good, man. I just hope they keep with the vibe of Bumblebee. The Bumblebee movie was great. And they
Anthony Ramos is a dope actor too, so it's dope to see him, you know.
Yeah.
Star and role like that.
There was Transformers. There was Guardians of the Galaxy. So let's hit that Guardians trailer. And I'm pretty sure. Let's see. One day ago. Boom.
I'm gonna tell you something.
I'm gonna have to bring it back to me.
I'm Star Lord.
We cannot see it. We got
her. Yeah, no. Hold on. No. There you go.
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm Star Lord. I formed the Guardians. Met a girl. Fell in love. That girl died. But then she came back. Came back a total dick.
Oh, he left out some important information, but that is the gist of it.
I guess dope. The job she does is.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name. Who's the one in the blue? I forgot her name. The character's name.
Nebula.
Nebula, yeah. It's really good thinking about who she really is. And this is a guy from Peacemaker.
Yep.
So, DC and Marvel are crossing over. Mm-hmm. Like, no more contracts.
Haha.
You can do both industries.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I just like that they keep the same vibe, you know. I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope we can learn how to use the damn fluke thing that flies around.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of otters. Anyone who knows me knows that.
You're an otter fan?
I'm an otter fan. I'm a fan of otters and creatures, yeah.
Are you ready? Who was he fighting there? Hold on. Bring it back. Is he fighting somebody?
Just Drax.
Is
Just
that?
Drax
no,
fighting
not.
Aaron Warlock. Yeah.
Okay. That's yeah. Drax. For one last ride.
Into the forever.
Was that Star-Lord they were carrying?
Yeah, but I don't think he's... that's the end of him.
I don't think he's guys.
Yeah. What was that you were in love with? It sounds more like her. Her? Do not bring me into this.
Knock it off! What? I never noticed how black your eyes were. They were replaced by my father as a method of torture. He picked a pretty set.
Oh my god. That's wild, bro.
That's good. That's a good ending.
Yeah, that was a good
one. That's pretty wild.
That was a good one. All right, guys. I know what you're going. Oh, everyone's waiting for. The Flash.
Real quick, though, can we get into it as far as who we think is going to
Unless you want to do Fast X.
No, we're not going to do Fast X. Let's go with Joey and break into this.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Joey. Tell me. What's up?
Who do we do? Are we all in agreement that we feel like Rocket probably will live and Drax is going to be the one to go?
I think Drax is the one that's going to go, but, you know.
Dave Bautista did say this whole movie, but there's an interesting thing that fans have noticed. I actually saw it on, like, a YouTube short. That you can predict which Guardians character is going to die based on the color scheme and tone of the logo.
Hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this like the Super Bowl script that everyone had?
Pretty much, yeah. Something like that. On the first one, you had, I guess, like the color tone for the first movie, for the, for the name Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like the same like color scheme as Groot, and then Volume 2 had the same color scheme as you, saying that this third one, the way it's textualized and put together, the color scheme kind of resembles Drax. And like you see why he has those tattoos on his body and stuff like that, like the with it, like inside the lettering of Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like got those like kind of symbol-y things that Drax has on his chest or all over his body.
Maybe.
I think it is going to be Drax just because of the actor is kind of saying that, like, he's kind of done with the role. I guess it doesn't mean he has to die. He could go away and go to his family, there's lots of possibilities. I guess the question is, would you be heartbroken if Drax died? Or would it be in hindsight, Black Widow dying was a big deal until Tony died, and then you're like, oh, that's the big death. That's the big death. So if it's just Drax, I don't know how we feel. But if Rocket and Drax die, or some sort, some combination thereof, it'll probably hit a little harder.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
And I'll let me know, I can't think of her name, the one with the antennas.
Mantis.
Now that we know, spoiler alert from the Christmas special, that's Star-Lord's sister. I'm wondering how that's going to play into this whole thing.
It's true.
We'll see.
I think also, too, what's cool about this the movie is, you get introduced to the High Evolutionary, you get Adam Warlock, and just seeing those two kind of combine and tag team in a sense. Is going to be interesting to see how those two evils will connect, and will Adam Warlock be one of the Guardians members?
Maybe. I think that'll be interesting to do that.
As a rare fan of the Eternals, I would like to see the Eternals play a part, or at least appear, or a reference to them.
The Guardians are actually jumping through. You know when there are those, like, Among Us looking suits with all the multiple colors?
Yes, yeah.
They're saying that they're jumping through in the asshole of an actual Celestial. that's the fan theory.
Yeah. When they're in the Teletubby suits, that's what they're doing?
Yeah. It's wild. It's very James Gunn thing of him to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James Gunn.
Does the perception of whatever happens in Guardians, is it going to affect like what we think about what James Gunn is going to do in DC? That's the question.
I don't know. If he's going to direct it, possibly.
Because he is directing this one, correct?
Yeah.
Did he say he was? I know he was writing it. And,
no, he's directing this Guardians.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about the Superman movie. That.
Well, yeah, I wasn't saying Superman. But
oh, he's going to direct Superman movie.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm saying if this Guardians is good, are we then like on board? Like, do people start softening a little bit and saying, okay, he's still got it?
I think people should have softened up to the idea of him taking over DC after the Suicide Squad. I think he did a solid job of, you know, resurrecting a movie that we thought originally was going to be extremely good, and it was very underwhelming. And you came through, flipped the script, came back with, you know, most of the characters intact, but also had a fun time kind of recreating the story, which is still connected to what that, you know, universe and but being also its own thing.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I think so too. But I think the DC fans are being all up in their feelings.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Zack Snyder has given his, you know, approval of the James Gunn regime. So,
okay.
Let it go, Snyder guys. Come on.
Yeah, man. Let it go. Like the guy. Yeah.
The Snyder guys, the Snyder gang need to chill.
They could just support Rebel Moon when he drops that on Netflix. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to need people to watch the show.
Snyder's giving his approval. James Bradbury said he held. Let's move on, everyone. History is history.
Yeah. Easier said than done. But all right. So apparently there was another Mandalorian trailer as well that showed a little bit more scenes.
Now this I missed.
Yeah. What about you, Joey? Did you see anything like that?
What is it?
Apparently there was a Mandalorian trailer that had a little more scenes that we haven't seen.
Yeah, from what I heard, I mean, yeah. I didn't.
You think
see
it's worth?
It.
You think it's worth hunting it down or running it?
Nah, I think they're pretty much recycling a lot of stuff already.
Probably. Just go watch the show, man. If you're not on season 3 yet, The Mandalorian, catch up. Okay. All right. Here we go. The Flash. Whoa. Wait a second here. I only got one hand. Let me do so many things at once. All right.
Tell me something.
I honestly, before we continue, this movie looks epic.
This was the best trailer.
Yeah,
of,
yeah, bro.
The Tubi commercials. Were the
this
most
movie looks. This movie.
This movie
looks like it slaps. Or whoever edited this trailer, like, needs to edit the trailers for everyone.
Bro, they deserve an Oscar for editing this trailer.
Like, yeah, because if the movie is not as good as this trailer,
whatever you give them, they deserve it.
Yeah. Bro, throw the bag at these people. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You need somebody in your trailer. Whoever did this one, grab him or her.
Is that okay? That's a cow. Okay. Batman cow. Who's talking to him there? Is that a Batman talking to him?
Keaton, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is the world where my mom lives. I'm not going to lose her again.
Very clear plot point, like the way they delivered that.
Mm-hmm. A flashpoint, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Technically, it's Batman. It's like, hey, we need to let's make a cool Batman movie with a bunch of universes. Let's do this flashpoint thing. Oh, yeah, wait. Let's make it the Flash movie, too. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like...
Different people. Different worlds.
Because it's low-key a Batman movie.
Of a Batman Superman movie.
Yeah, it's low key.
I like that line, drawn to each other like magnets. That's a very good.
I think it's interesting his color scheme there. Like, he had a bunch of yellow on. So maybe, does he turn into the Reverse Flash? That version?
I don't think it's going to be him. I'll give you my theory at the end.
He does the thing. I guess, so whatever it is, that version of Barry doesn't have Flash powers yet. So he kind of recreated the thing?
He helps him get his powers quicker than what he's supposed to.
That's probably going to mess up something.
Yeah. That Flash ring is crazy.
The Flash ring is dope. They finally made that look cool.
We just saw Ben Affleck in a trailer for the Flash movie, so.
Yes.
The Snyderverse is not dead, technically. So relax.
Yes, it is, Speedy. Don't give him fucking hope.
Relax.
Over, dog. Don't even bring that nonsense up.
They'll do something. They'll do some kind of show for.
They're not doing no fucking Snyderverse. So
they'll do something. Watch. Look at that. They got Zod. Come on.
That dope brought back Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
World with no medicine.
Whoa, wait. What was those?
So that's
there on the floor? What is that?
That's Supergirl stuff.
Ah, okay.
That's her whole outfit.
Straight from the Flashpoint animated film.
Yeah, so they literally just put, instead of Superman, they use Supergirl as the... So if anybody doesn't know, in the Flashpoint, there's a universe where Superman gets picked up by the U.S. Army instead of the family in Kansas and becomes locked up and mistrusted and malnourished and no sun power, so he's super weak and he's locked up. And they looks like they pretty much did the same thing, but with Supergirl. Here's the line that I misquoted.
The fact that they used the Danny Elfman original Batman score.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's lit. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. And the money shot.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
I got chills in this whole scene.
Yes.
Yeah, so Michael Keaton's Batman is like super violent. You know what I mean? Like, when I was rewatching some of the fight scenes in the 89 movie, I was like, man, this is like, you know?
You would have to be. You got all sensitive all of a sudden.
Yeah.
This Batman, like, the Keaton Batman is supposed to be like 60 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously it's going to be a lot of CGI and stunt doubles, but whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know. There you go. If I can't get back.
That was dope.
Oh, that was kind of dope.
Dope scene, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, wait a second. Was that Batman Batfleck?
That was Batfleck. I think that particular scene is him and Barry actually like fighting crime in the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
Mm. Oh. Good call.
Yeah, there you go.
That's dope, though. That's a good shot.
It is, yeah.
And the suit looks crazy.
Yeah. What's the play? Well, they got like the blue and gray going there. I noticed that. You saw that color scheme? The blue and gray?
Yeah.
We try not to die.
That's cool. Woo!
That's cool. Supergirl enacting revenge.
Yeah.
It's not Clark. My name is Kara.
We're Barry.
Yeah. Was she punching Barry? I think I might have kind of missed it. Who did she punch?
She was punching a guard.
Yeah, guard. Okay. The guards, obviously, that probably had her locked up. I mean, I'm assuming.
Yeah. At this point.
Barry, what are you doing? Our kids are going to want to see this.
Like, bring your kids to the movie theater. That's what he pretty much said. Yeah.
And then buy
the graphic novels, buddy. Yeah,
nice touch.
Marketing.
Nice touch. Good touch.
Marketing.
Can we dive into this? Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah.
I think this answers everyone's question, which I assumed that, like, a lot of people are like, why are they still doing the Flash movie, though? Like, it's very clear why they're still doing the Flash movie. Like, if you didn't figure that out before, this is why you don't pay attention to the fans. Sometimes it's very clear why they're still doing the Flash movie. One, it looks to be a great movie based off the trailer. Listen, I enjoy Black Adam, and I said the Black Adam trailers were okay. This seems to be, like, an astonishing trailer. And I hope the film, if it even comes close to what the trailer has me feeling, it'll be a very, very good film.
Yeah.
But we may not see the likes of it again, and maybe put the whole universe, and that's what I think it is. I think that's why you keep doing this film. But it looks like they're playing off this character very well. And the depictions, like, it doesn't seem corny or, like, manufactured, or I would say just on a trailer basis. When I saw Far From Home, I was like, okay, well, they're just trying to get us with nostalgia with these other characters. This one seems like, okay, you're building a multiverse thing in order to build an actual story to go from here. And I'm, right. I'm here for it. It looks right. It looks superb.
Shout out to MJ. Thanks for the comment, MJ. After Flash erasing all that old DC stuff, it would be weird to see Aquaman 3 NGO.
I kind of feel him on that, but I kind of trust the, you know, what James Gunn was talking about in his whole YouTube announcement of all the DC projects that are to come, and how excited he is, not only for The Flash, but for Aquaman. And how he specifically said that Flash would be the movie to reboot everything. Probably somewhere along that, Aquaman gets dragged in, maybe in a post-credit scene at the end of the Aquaman movie that comes out later this year. And that's my prediction on it. I think Jason Momoa stays on as Aquaman, but will also play another character a la Lobo, which has been hinted at and rumored to be the thing. So he'll be Aquaman and Lobo. It can happen because you can alter his, you know, the way he looks. And Lobo's, like, got this, like, gray, bluish skin. And, you know, trust me, anything can be done with CGI. So I think watching Aquaman, it'll be straight. And I think watching this Flash movie, after watching the trailer, which honestly looks phenomenal, and I thought James Gunn was just blowing smoke up my ass saying, hey, you know, this is probably one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. So I mean, with that being said, and seeing that trailer and how great Michael Keaton looked as Batman once again, even I'm excited for Supergirl, and I was a little bit weary about that, and not just because of Supergirl, but how she was going to fit into the greater scale of things in this Flash movie, because it just feels like there's so much shit we got, you know what I mean? But then, you know, vaguely remembering Flashpoint and watching, and I haven't even watched the actual animated movie, but you know, the way everything looks right now in this preview, at first it was Ant-Man as the most anticipated movie for me for this year. Flash has ran away with it, bro, and I think this might breathe new life into DC and what they got going on, gonna have going forward. I'm really excited for this movie, and I wasn't a big fan of Ezra Miller to begin with being the Flash. Mm-hmm. But man, this looks really good. I just pray and hope that, you know, he gets help and gets his shit together at the same time, because this movie looks epic, and it might be on some like top five superhero movies type shit the way it looks.
What do you think, Tarek? Yeah, Aquaman 3 is gonna be weird when it drops, or you think they're gonna?
No, I think they got to rein it all in. I think they got a plan. I think the fact that Aquaman 3 takes place underwater in a whole separate kingdom with a whole separate set of issues it's not like where you have the Eternals and you're like, well, what were y'all doing during Thanos thing? Or like, well, where was Ant-Man during this event? During, you know, it's where was Thor during Civil War? It's like, hey, we got our own little kingdom down here, our own little set of issues. The world is 75% water. I think that's fine to be separate if it is. If it is, maybe they're dealing with the ongoing effects of what the Flash is doing as it's happening. Who knows? You know. So I think they can make it work. I think if they were going to scrap it, they would just scrap it. With good reason. I don't think they're at a point where they're like, well, let's just do it because we already got it done.
Right. Do you think this is the end of Ezra Miller, guys? This is it. No matter what, makes $1 billion. That's it. Ezra Miller's done. Does the Flash or what?
I don't think so. I think the fact that he hasn't been in the public eye amidst all these, you know, crazy situations and stories that have been, you know, reported. He's already been known to be kind of like an interesting character as it is. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, everybody has their thing, but his was like a little pretty, the stories were very off the rail, and it was spooky because I didn't think this Flash movie would come out because of, you know, all the stuff that he was, you know, that he, you know, was said was being done and all these allegations and, you know, all these reports that were coming out. But this movie does good, and I think they people are getting him help, and I think he is committed to, you know, getting himself on the right path. I think he does stay on board. I think he will continue to be the Flash. And, yeah, listen, Hollywood, you know, granted, you know, you take all the proper, you know, routes to better yourself. I mean, we've seen this with Robert Downey Jr. You know, this guy was exiled from so much shit in Hollywood. You know what I mean? He was always in the news, in the papers, on some, like, fucked up shit. And, you know, Marvel took a chance on him. You know, he got his act cleaned up, stayed out of the, you know, stayed out of the news, you know, getting, you know, his bad rep. And bro, he became Iron Man and, bro, one of the theaters in Hollywood. I think Ezra Miller can right the ship. I think, you know, time, you know, we just got to let, you know, time take its toll, him get in a better space, right, and let this movie be what it is, and, you know, hopefully it becomes epic. And if it does get a Billy, I think he comes back.
It gets a B? Ezra Miller ain't going nowhere, Tarek? Or what do you think?
I think he's going to be involved regardless in some things, but I can see them going. I can honestly see them going Wally West.
Ooh.
I can see them, like, skipping ahead and going Wally West instead, just because, just to be safe, with Ezra Miller still having some involvement.
Just in case some crazy allegation comes out or some reveal in his case or whatever.
I feel like something, now that you mention it, man, like, not to switch up with everything I said, because, you know, like I said, you know, that's just my opinion on it, but, like, bro, how much you want to bet, like, there's more allegations that come up? And I pray that this doesn't happen, but I feel like it always happens when, like, we get closer to somebody doing something blockbuster, and, you know, not saying that these people are telling lies, but then it's just interesting how, you know, if that it'll come up.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, I when I posted that, I was very impressed with the trailer. Someone immediately commented, "He doesn't deserve the success." Okay, So it's already going to be some pullback from a lot of people from what he's already done, which I'm fine. Like, everyone can feel how they feel, and you know, like he said, Downey Jr. was able to resurrect his career.
Yeah,
and after years and years of legal troubles, you know. Hey, listen, maybe they cast Lindsay Lohan as, you know, Wonder Girl. Maybe she's Donna Troy. Like, who knows? Like, let's get all the troubled people back in here.
Let's put them all in D.C. It's all right.
Everyone back in the mix. Time. Yeah.
That'll be interesting. I think we hit everything I wanted to hit on the show today, man. Unless I'm forgetting about something or something you guys want to talk about. Any shows? Or
we didn't get any Marvel's trailer.
Yeah.
Are we bothered by that at all?
Did we see a Marvel's trailer?
No, there wasn't a Marvel's trailer.
Okay.
Nope. I'm okay with it. I will say that, like, it just seems, the more and more I watch the trailer, it just seems like Jonathan Majors is going to make a great, great villain as Kang. Yeah. Like, I always thought Kang was kind of corny, even in the comic books and on the television shows. I always thought he was kind of corny. But he's making a great, great villain out of him, it seems like. So that should be dope.
I like him in the animated Avengers cartoon.
Yeah.
He was actually pretty cool in that.
Yeah, he was whacking that one, too.
No, I liked him in that one.
I'll be seeing Ant-Man on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay.
Nice.
End it early.
I got to go Thursday night. Thursday night. I got my tickets. Thursday night. It's going down.
I got that. I'm
going
to go see it Wednesday, then watch it Thursday.
Oh, okay. Dang. So, but what if it doesn't snap? It doesn't slap, and you're like, dang, I got these tickets for Thursday.
No, I haven't heard nothing bad about it. I haven't heard nothing bad about it. At the end of the day, like, I mean, you know.
When does the reviews drop? You guys want to check out the reviews? The reviews drop already?
Yeah, I think they drop the official tomorrow. Reviews.
Is it tomorrow?
I think they drop tomorrow.
Let's leave it alone.
Yeah, you want to leave it alone?
I don't want
to
know.
Come on. I wanted to be a troublemaker.
Nope.
Let's be a troublemaker. I mean, we're going to be on next week.
I already got my tickets already. You know what I mean? Nah,
I would like to see what people are saying about it. Let's pull up some reviews. Tweets.
We pull some tweets.
Just pull in the hashtag.
That was the first from the Hollywood Reactions. Quantumania reactions.
So here's the thing. Jonathan Majors has confirmed that, like Wanda Maximoff, the MCU's Kang is a Nexus being. It's according to MCU Direct on Twitter.
Nexus being.
Yeah. This is from Rotten Tomatoes, guys. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's get it. Let's see here. They're pretty trusted, right?
Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is a lot of fun with lots going on. I love seeing Scott and Cassie's relationship in the Quantum Realm. That's a great, not spoilery tweet.
Yeah,
Ant-Man
right.
And the, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania was good. Not everything lands, but it's funny, inventive, and a good time. An enjoyable, bizarro ride into the Quantum Realm. Okay, dope. Perfect. I'm with it. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania kicks off Marvel's Phase 5 with a vivid but messy spectacle. The overall film is sadly just okay. Doesn't slap for him. All right, fine. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is by far Marvel's weirdest, zaniest movie to date. Okay. I'll take it.
I like weird.
Yeah. Definitely Marvel's weirdest movie yet, but that's a good thing. It leans hard into the sci-fi side of the MCU, taking lots of wild swings. Okay. I'm with it. It is the best of the trilogy. Higher stakes, dangers, and repercussions. It's also got one of the best MCU villains. Okay. Slaps. I actually liked the other two and was looking forward to this one. It didn't do it for me. And that's they were saying that will this movie have the same texture as the first two Ant-Man movies? Because they were a little more fun, a little bit more comedy, I guess.
Yeah, you know why? Because Michael Peña is probably not in this movie as much.
Yeah. Unless there's some variant of him.
Exactly. I've seen, there's another a famous YouTuber that I watch. I forget his name now. Not that they're the nerds. The John Campia show. And he's really upset that he's not in this movie. Okay. You know, that he really thinks that's a big mistake. On his
I mean, if you were banking the movie on a couple scenes from Michael Peña, then you weren't going to enjoy it.
Yeah, usually we get those cool ass recaps and stuff that he usually does.
Yeah.
There you go. While better than most of the films in Phase 4, Quantumania feels very generic, lacks laughs, and the emotional beats fall kind of flat too. Okay. I don't want to laugh.
Yes, you do, because you don't want to watch Last of Us. You want to watch Bad Batch instead, like a child.
It's like Marvel meets Star Wars, and I'm here for it. All right. It slaps for you. Great. Gives some heavy Star Wars vibes. No, I don't want it to be that, though. Not that much. Yeah, I don't know about that. Is as close to as Marvel has gotten to a Star Wars movie with little bits of a Rick and Morty feel. Okay, that's fine. Rick and Morty.
That's a hell of a comparison. Okay.
Yeah. The film at times feels more like a Star Wars film rather than a Marvel. Okay, why?
Damn.
Why? No, the best Star Wars movie since 2018 is The Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. It's a huge sci-fi adventure, gorgeous world building. No. The CGI was stunning. The Quantum Realm is seriously beautiful. Dope. The effects are superb. It does not talk about anything about the movie. What about the script?
It sounds like the Avatar films. Same thing. Oh, it's visually stunning. You know, so all that hype died down.
It overwhelmed me sometimes. This volume and CGI characters were a heavy combo for some parts. Okay. Creative. What about the script? Creative, irresistibly energetic. Engaging, fast-paced storytelling with humor and heart. Heartwarming father-daughter story. This is quotes that I tell the reviewers at the end of the movie after I watch it. Feels almost like a little un-Marvel in how much world-building there is, but it's got humor and heart. Okay, so there's the humor.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's gonna be funny. I don't know damn what he does.
The story was a bit underwhelming. The humor was good.
Yeah, you know one thing about this one I don't get is his impetus in this. He wants time with his daughter. Did something happen to her? Are we talking about the 5 years he lost? What are we talking about here?
Well, I know in the movie at some point she gets locked up. You've seen it in the trailer, her getting out of jail. So she kind of follows in her dad's footsteps.
Right.
You know, getting in trouble with the law, whatnot, and So I don't know if that's because he was gone or he was really rebellious. I don't know. Who knows? But that's probably the time he's trying to get back.
Here, it does it start off a bit shaky. After a frustratingly rough Act 1, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania finally gets going, only to end where the story should have begun?
Hmm.
Okay.
It never quite finds its footing and relies on style over substance, the quality never matching the confidence. Huh. Does it feel substantial? While the external stakes are clear and weighty, emotional drive felt slight and levity?
Oh, that's levity? Levity
even lighter. Big words.
Well, that's all the Ant-Man movies. Listen, I've never been the biggest fan of Ant-Man films. Yeah. I have to be honest.
Ant-Man was always okay film.
It's always okay. It was almost like Paul Rudd carrying a film.
Yeah.
But plot-wise, and the Ant-Man, the creativity in which they used the Ant-Man powers was great.
Right.
And I'm cool with Ant-Man existing just because of his scenes in Civil War were like some of the best scenes.
Right. Has way too much going on. It's tough to connect emotionally to any of it. Okay. Place close attention to everything Kang says. This is just the beginning. All right. Okay, dope. Jonathan Majors rules, absolutely terrifying. Stands out strongly. Meant to play Kang. He's lit. That's dope. MODOK was insane. MODOK brings all the ridiculous humor. Does anyone else stand out? Michelle Pfeiffer is the main character. Catherine Newton.
I think you're breaking this down by character.
Yeah. How's the post-credit scenes? Two after the credit scenes. There you go, official. There you go, Les. Stay for both credit scenes. Two cool post-credit scenes. They're important and good. Dope. Will leave us hopeful for MCU future. Strong start. Exciting trajectory. Hints of what's to come of Kang. Mostly intrigued. Can't wait to see more from Kang. So much new that locked me back to MCU. Okay, go. Kicks off phase 5 with a whimper instead of a bang. One bullet out of 5.
Yeah, so. That's a violent way to review something, but I get what you're saying. I get the metaphor.
Oh man, so that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for the show today. Terrica, let everyone know who's watching, listening to the audio version of this, how they can follow you, sir.
I'll be on My Name is Tarek on YouTube and also on Instagram.
Dope. Joey, let's do the same, please.
Yeah, keep up with me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Joey Franchise. And yeah.
Follow me at DJ Speedy JR, all the socials. Thanks. Follow the show. Give us a subscribe on YouTube so you get those notifications. What's up?
Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh yeah, amazing the game. Have you been playing it?
Amazing game I've been playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So I've been streaming it. I've been streaming it on my TikTok. So definitely follow me. Joey French. TikTok. What? Twitch.
Twitch or TikTok? Which one? Joey French. Okay. Twitch. Which one? TikTok or Twitch? Or are you doing both?
Twitch talk.
a weird combination you got going on. It was okay. Follow me at DJ Speed DJR on the socials. Follow the show, Geek Culture Congress. Put them together on Instagram. 3 words on Facebook. Give us a like. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you get those notifications when we go live with the live show. We got the interview with Mikey Sutton is happening Thursday. I'll be recording it Thursday. It'll be up with the audio version of the podcast on Friday, God willing. And so he had to look out for that. We're going to talk about his upcoming Dreamwalker live action project. About the future of the Dreamwalker comic and everything Mikey Suttonverse, geekositymag.com, all that good stuff. We'll be talking about that. And we'll hopefully have that up for you guys edited and on the audio version of the podcast on Friday. You guys have a good, great rest of your evening. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the live stream. We'll be back with the live show every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the reaction, our official reaction to Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania.
Are we spoiling?
Will it slap? Will it not slap? We will probably spoil it.
We're spoiling the shit out of that.
If you were not about it, opening weekend, it's Monday. So, just fire warning, okay? And I'll put spoiler all over the live and everything, okay? All right, guys. Y'all have a good night, man. Be safe. Peace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.